Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All of us are hoping that our tax bill doesn't jump up, but that really comes down to the House and the Senate agreeing on what President Trump keeps calling his big, beautiful bill. He wants one big, beautiful bill, but the House and the Senate, stop me if you've heard this before, don't agree on how to do that. I know. Unheard of, right? Breaking news. This has never happened before. Phil Kirpin is joining us. He's the president of American Commitment. He says the House and the Senate Republicans have to come together quickly on a deal or we're going to have some problems. Phil, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure.
So tell me a little bit, just I'm sure this audience, who tends to be more engaged than the average bear, is pretty clear on everything that's going on. But just to kind of recap us a little bit, this is a tax cut that the president did back in, what was that, 8 years ago? Is that kind of where we're sitting on the tax cut and jobs?
Almost 8 years. It was December 2017 when it passed. So almost 8 years ago now, 7.5 years ago, they passed this big tax bill called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And it was pretty touch and go at the end. And we didn't know if Susan Collins was going to vote for it. And then she finally did. And I want to say it was something like December 17th of 2017. They finally got it done in time to go home for Christmas, which, of course, if you're ever going to try to get Congress to do something, threatening them missing Christmas is the time they finally actually get their act together and finish up their work. But, you know, one of the problems with that is they got it done so late in the year that there was really no time for people to feel the benefit of it before the 2018 election, which ended up being a very bad election for Republicans. And so that's kind of the political overtone of the fight they're having right now, is let's get it done sooner so that people can feel the benefits of it, so we don't have another situation where we get it done at the last minute, but it really doesn't filter through before people make their sort of political decisions. And so that's one aspect of this. But where we are right now is, if they don't get an extension done, almost everything they did in 2017, on the individual side at least, some of the corporate provisions are permanent, but on the individual side, everything expires. So the standard deduction gets cut in half, all of the rates go up, the child credit gets cut in half from $2,000 to $1,000. And maybe most significantly from an economic standpoint, the 20% exclusion of small business income goes away. And so small businesses, their rate goes from 29% and change to 40%.
Wow. Because
not only does the rate go from 37 to 40, but they can no longer exclude 20%. And so it's a big, big tax hike on small business in particular. But everyone's taxes go up. And depending on how many kids you have, they could go up thousands of dollars with that child credit being cut in half. So this is a big, big tax hike that's coming down the pipe if they don't get this done. The later in the year it goes, the more I fear that they failed to get it done. They did pass a major milestone just before they left for Easter break a few weeks ago, and they're back this week, but they took a 2 week Easter break, which, by the way, I don't know anyone else in America besides Congress who gets 2 weeks off for Easter. So it must be wonderful for them. But before they got their 2 week Easter break, they actually agreed on a budget resolution. The same budget resolution passed in both the House and the Senate. And that was the key first step, the key first procedural hurdle to write this bill, because they're using a process called budget reconciliation. They need to do it that way because it can avoid a filibuster in the Senate. And this is how most of the major tax and spending bills in recent years have been done, just because there's no bipartisan anything big anymore. So they had to get a budget resolution done, and they did kind of agree. I mean, they did officially, formally, technically agree on a budget resolution. But Mike, I've never seen a budget written like this before, because what they quote unquote agreed on has different spending numbers for the House committees and for the Senate committees. And so in a way they agreed, but in a way they agreed to disagree, at least on the spending side of this. The House has $1.5 trillion in spending reductions and reforms over the next 10 years. The Senate has $4 billion, that's billion with a B, which basically rounds to zero in the federal budget. And so this question of whether they're going to cut spending, whether they're going to have, they're not really cuts, by the way, they're reductions in the expected increase, because spending still goes up a ton every single year, even under the House plan. But this question of whether there will be any decrease in the rate of increase of spending as the House envisions, or whether there will be essentially none as the Senate envisions, is the big outstanding sticking point. And they just sort of punted on that by putting different numbers in for the House committees and for the Senate committees. But that's kind of where they are procedurally. The House is going first. So a lot of the committees have written their part. And in fact, the part of this bill that I'm now most excited about, even more than the tax cuts, is the Judiciary Committee included a bill that I've been trying to pass for the last 15 years called the RAINS Act, that would require affirmative approval in Congress before major regulations could pass. So that is now at the moment in the bill, which would be a huge positive for the economy. We're not going to see the tax title until probably next week, or maybe even the week after. Ways and Means still has that under wraps, but we should very soon, as in the next week or two, know at least what the House wants to do on taxes. And then, of course, we need to see what the Senate does. And either the House or the Senate is going to win on this spending question. And, we'll have to see. But if they end up disagreeing for months and this continues to drift, there's a real danger that they don't get this done, or that they get it done at the very last minute after a lot of economic damage has been done.
Isn't that pretty much how Congress gets everything done, though? Is they go back and forth
more
and,
often than not.
Yeah.
More often than not it is. I'm hoping that this time it won't be. I will say, I mean, you know, when the speaker said he was going to get the budget resolution part, that first hurdle, cleared by Easter, a lot of people said, no way, that's crazy, he'll never do it. And then he did it. So, maybe they can do it sooner rather than later. Of course, nothing ever quite gets them as motivated as, hey, you're going to miss Christmas Eve with your family if you don't get this done. So I'm hoping it doesn't take that long, but that probably would be the backstop in the worst case scenario.
Well, just to kind of do a little microcosm of how things get delayed like that, we had Congresswoman Ann Wagner on to basically start the show today, and she's Financial Services Committee. And she had texted me after we did the interview and said Maxine Waters was currently reading from the New York Times filibustering in committee, which, to be honest with you, is something I never really thought about before. I mean, we hear about filibusters in the Senate. You don't really have that in the House, but I guess she was filibustering in committee, which was kind of new for me, but it's Maxine Waters, so anything is believable with Maxine Waters. So, you know, the interesting thing that as we've watched this thing go back and forth, it seemed like, to what you were talking about before the Easter break, and I love the 2-week comment, that's very funny. It seemed like they were on the same page, and we were going down the good path to get this one bill passed. Because I remember way back when, Lindsey Graham kept saying, we need two bills, not one. We can't roll it all into one. And the House was saying,
we lost 3 months on this incredibly stupid effort by the Senate. What they were saying, they spent the first 3 months of this year, the Senate Republicans, saying, what we need to do is we'll do a budget bill and a spending bill that has no tax changes at all, and then we'll circle back on taxes later in the year with a second budget and a second reconciliation bill. By the way, Mike, do you know how many times in American history they've passed two budgets in the same year in the Senate? Zero.
I'm going to go out on a limb on that one.
The most productive Senate in history. It was never going to happen. So they wasted 3 months on that.
So they got to these two different dollar amounts that you talked about, huge dollar amounts, $1.5 trillion and $4 billion. How is that even possible to be that far apart?
Well, the way the budget resolution works, it has an instruction to each committee with a dollar amount of how much they're expected to deliver in savings versus the projected baseline over the next 10 years. And some genius up there figured out that the numbers that we give to the Senate committees can be completely different than the numbers we give to the House committees. And I don't think anyone's ever done that before, but that's what they did this year. And so instead of debating it out and figuring out numbers that everyone could agree on, they said, let's just move the process along for now with wildly different numbers for the House and Senate, and we'll sort it out later. So, you know, they did in a way clear the first hurdle procedurally, but only procedurally. They still need to come to some agreement on what the actual spending levels are going to be.
Well, that makes a lot of sense as to how we got that far apart, because they started with different numbers. I thought it happened in the committees, but obviously if it started that way, that explains how you can end up there. We're talking with Phil Kirpin. Phil is saying we need to cancel the tax hikes immediately and permanently because you are going to see over $3,000 added to your tax bill by the end of this year. It really happened that fast, huh?
Well, it starts in tax year 2026. So if we get to the end of this year and Congress hasn't acted, you know, when you file your taxes, it won't affect you for this current year that we're in when you file next April. But your withholding could change right away when we get into January if they haven't done this. And so, you know, especially if you've got a bunch of kids and your child credit gets cut in half, I mean, you would think at a minimum they've got to get that extended, because the politics of not doing that would probably be disastrous. But as of right now, everything sort of hangs in the balance. And so, you know, if they get to January and haven't done this, everyone's, you know, your withholding will adjust and you'll be paying higher taxes.
So you watch this as an insider on a regular basis. You talked about the RAINS Act and you've been trying to get that done. Where do you see this going? Like, if you're going to handicap where we are, because I'm thinking President Trump has a lot riding on this. He has really hitched his horses to this big, beautiful bill and getting it done. I'm assuming there's going to be some arm twisting from the White House that's going to happen here and try to get this thing done. What's the next steps here?
Well, that's sort of the wager, right? In putting the president's entire legislative agenda essentially into one bill. And of course, as conservatives, we've always said, you know, don't these giant omnibus bills break everything up into individual bills. But because the Democrats in the Senate will filibuster everything not in this one bill that is protected from filibuster, this is only way that they can accomplish everything that the president campaigned on and promised. And you're absolutely right. If they get this thing within range of the finish line, he's going to be the lobbyist in chief and I hope get it over the line. But what makes this so challenging is the majorities are so slim in both the Senate and especially in the House right now that it is going to take an all-out effort. But remember, they got the budget resolution through, and that's a really good sign for being able to get the final bill through.
Well, you talked about Susan Collins back in 2017 that you didn't know where she was going to go. That's always an uphill battle. You've got at least three players there, right? With McConnell, with her, and
Murkowski
and Alaska.
Alaska's the other co-conspirator. Curtis, the guy who took over for Romney in Utah, may not be that big of an upgrade from Romney, so he could be in the mix also. But it's only a handful of the same people that cause trouble, but 53 is a lot better than 51 or 50, but it's still not a huge cushion. And then in the House right now, they can only lose three. And you kind of lose Thomas Massie from the jump every time because I love the guy, but he's become like Ron Paul. He just votes no on everything. So, you know, you don't have a lot of margin in the House either.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So what are you looking for in terms of markers to get us to show that we're moving progress, so to speak? What are the things that you're going to be watching to go, oh, that's a positive thing that we needed done? What are those steps look like?
Well, we've got, you know, the House committees are all in action. You mentioned the financial services did their part of the bill today. We're going to the judiciary tomorrow, which has that RAINS Act that I mentioned. The big show is going to be in Ways and Means, and we'll see when they roll a bill out, in particular, whether the so-called SALT members, the Republicans from places like New York and California that want bigger write-offs for high state and local taxes, they're going to need their pound of flesh, and the president did say they'd do something on that. And so, you know, if they've been pacified, that'll be a really positive indicator. I hope that they're pacified relatively inexpensively for taxpayers in the other states, maybe going from 10 to 20,000 for married or 25,000, something like that. I hope they don't go to 80 or 100,000, which would just be a huge giveaway for rich people in blue states. So that'll be one key thing to watch when they unveil the Ways and Means portion next week. But the other big, big thing to watch is what the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House does on Medicaid reforms, which are so critically necessary. That program has gone up 50% in federal spending in the last 5 years. California is fleecing the rest of the country. They're expecting $119 billion in federal Medicaid funding for the upcoming fiscal year. That's more than the entire budget of the state of Florida. I hope that they have some real Medicaid reforms in this bill, and I hope that we don't have Senate Republicans sabotage that, because that's a big point of contention right now. So these are kind of the big flashpoints to watch. The other one is, what is the approach to all the green energy and electric vehicle giveaways? Because that was such a huge big ticket item in what Biden did in his Inflation Reduction Act. And if they can really repeal a lot of that, that can pay for all the things that we want to do, all the positive things we want to do on taxes. But again, you know, that's another thing like with Saul, where you got a dozen members who have a lot of renewable energy interest in their districts and what have you, Republican members that say, hey, not so fast, let's not do that. And so these are kind of the big things they have to navigate. And we're going to get the first indication of kind of how they're trying to square these things when we see that Ways and Means title. That's going to be the big one, along with the Energy and Commerce title. We're expecting both those next week, maybe the week after at latest. So we'll see. And in particular, we want to see not just what they do substantively and whether it can get through the House, but whether it, you know, causes a Senate backlash that might cause more friction, you know, going forward, even if they do pass something out of the House. So there's still a lot of these sort of flashpoints that need to be navigated.
Well, Phil, we appreciate you keeping an eye on this. I'm glad that you understand this process much, much better than I do. So obviously, we'd like to stay in touch with you as we go through this process and get an update. And hopefully, it won't take until Christmas to get this done, but President Trump can twist some arms and we'll actually get it over the finish line.
Yeah, I'm hoping they meet his Memorial Day deadline. It would take a heroic effort of expediency, but hey, I'm not going to give up yet.
Maybe it's Congresswoman Wagner was saying 4th of July. That's kind of...
I think they've already flipped to that. But yeah, that wouldn't be too bad.
That would be a great Independence Day, wouldn't it? That would work pretty well. Hey, we appreciate your time. We hope you have a wonderful week and stay off of I-70.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, Phil.